As of right now, we are at war.
How desperate you call on such lost creatures to defend you?
How desperate am I? You threaten my world with war. You steal a force you can't hope to control. You talk about peace and you kill because it's fun. You have made me very desperate. You might not be glad that you did. There was an idea. Bring together a group of remarkable people, see if they can become something more. Like the battles that we never could.
Welcome to Fury's Finest, a podcast about Marvel Crisis Protocol and the Marvel Universe. My name is Jesse Aiken, and I'm joined by not Chris today, but Tim from the Professional Casual Network. How are you doing today, Tim?
I'm doing pretty fantastic, sir. How about yourself?
I'm doing really well. I love having guests on the show, and it was very exciting to get you on the show. Shout out to Dr. D, who made this connective tissue happen. But I feel like your show, Wait, Did I Ruin Wild, and our show have a lot of things in common and differences that, you know, I think round each other out. And it's really a pleasure to have you on, because I think my first interaction with you guys was the Illuminati meeting where Danny was on.
Yeah.
And I was on that as well. And I got to know Danny a little bit through that. Through pre-show and during the show, and got me listen to y'all's show, and also, you know, got me plugged into all your streams and stuff. And I just think you guys promote a lot of positivity around MCP and a lot of fun. And that's what we try to do here on Fury's Finest, because a lot of our goal too is enhancing the game for players. And, you know, I think we have some cool crossover. And on top of that, you guys also play Ultimate Encounters a lot, which speaks to me a lot, because I think they're a part of the game that some people forget about sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially with the quality that AMG has put out and the frequency of them. There's a ton there that I do think it's very overlooked.
Absolutely, because it's so rich in the story, but also like the mechanics are so different, you know, than the regular game.
Mm-hmm.
And really gets your brain thinking outside the box. But it's a pleasure to have you on, and I'm hoping to have more collaborations with you all in the future. The reason you're on today, which is a very exciting topic, it's been some time, so we've had the dust settled, all the travel and all these things, so I think it's the reason why we're doing this now. But you and the Professional Casual team recently went to a big event, right?
Yeah. So this year we've kind of been making the tour a little bit, but we just got back, I mean, kind of relatively, from the Atlantic City Open.
It's a big one.
Yeah, in Jersey. And it's a newer convention, but the space there was huge. There was a lot going on, and that very specifically, that convention is kind of on a pretty awesome growth pattern, where I think that's going to be getting massive over these next few years, especially as events and stuff have kind of started to finally kick back around. I think ACO is going to be a big one to look at.
Absolutely. I'm glad we're talking about today, because Marvel Crisis Protocol getting added recently to ACO, and, you know, the success they've had recently with games like Star Wars Legion, which is one of my primary games as well. Yeah, upward trajectory is definitely the word. I think you kind of nailed it there with their growth, and they're kind of catching up to the big ones, you know, the Adepticons and stuff of the world. One day, maybe, you never know. But you guys also covered Adepticon, right?
We did, yeah. So it was kind of somewhat of a last minute thing, but was massive for us. Just, we had never been to a convention before, like as a ticket holder or in a professional capacity. And to that be kind of our first stop for a lot of things was huge. And I don't think very legitimately that there's a better first experience than Adepticon for a lot of reasons. It was just absolutely blew our mind how positive that experience as a whole was.
That's awesome. Yeah. And a lot of those organizers really working with you and just working with the MCP community, it warms my heart, but also just has me really excited about the future. And I think that's what we're talking about today a lot, Tim, is kind of the future of these big events while looking at this one you just went to, but also like, what does this look like for MCP? Because we're kind of in a new place with the game, right? Like, we've never been at this point where we have conventions that are selling out, because, you know, there was a worldwide pandemic and COVID and a lot of things happened. And also, of course, the game has grown exponentially since it first came out. I mean, we're far exceeding the 100 models range at this point. And I don't know, what a great time to be an MCP fan, I guess. But we're kind of figuring this new thing out, right?
Yeah. And it's so weird having a game like MCP that kind of really got the ball rolling and started to snowball during the pandemic, come out the other end and be like, oh, well, all right, so how do we go into person now? It's kind of a unique experience for this particular game. And it's really exciting to see, number one, it survive. Number two, it to be the quality that it's at. And number three, see the community that's been built around it, especially when everyone is in lockdown or inside or travel restrictions and stuff. Like, I think all of the positive momentum that has been happening over these last few years is just going to have this game and the people playing it just explode over the next couple years. Like, I think we're about to see probably the best MCP has ever been, and will continue to get better, if that's even relatively fathomable.
It is and it isn't, because I say that because, you know, Chris and I jump into this game every week, and we have since we first started. And it's that sort of concept of watching the game grow in mechanics and miniatures and hobbying and terrain and the community. Like, it has grown and improved in every area, and it was already so good when it came out, you know?
Right.
It is hard to imagine, but it's also like absolutely believable at the same time. And I think this new advent of events and conventions, which is a crazy thing to say, that are massive in scale, and some even just medium sized, which are filled up to the brim with MC players, sold out. You know, I'm going to Lone Star Open very soon. They've got sold out events left and right on all these different sort of game systems. I don't know. It's just a crazy thing. And I'm glad we're kind of at this moment to reflect and also look forward, because we really don't know what the future holds, but I do think it's pretty bright.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think with MCP now, a big thing we're leading to every year is now LVO, right? Now, LVO was very big this year. It was the first big LVO since right after the game came out, they had an LVO. Omnus was there and stuff. And then, of course, the world shut down right after that. Mm-hmm. And this year was LVO, and it was a success. And it seems like this coming LVO is going to be much, much bigger and much cooler, potentially. And now with talking with you, it seems like you guys have some plans for LVO as well.
Yeah, we do. We're going to be kind of the whole group of us, as far as the amount of the professional casual network that has traveled to anything. LVO is kind of going to be everyone's coming, I guess is the way to put it. We are coordinating. I think there's probably between 6 and 10 of us that are going to be making our way out there. So it's the organizer kind of for MCP for Frontline Gaming, Tyson.
Yes.
Is certainly making it so it's going to be a very memorable kind of fever pitch of MCP stuff going forward.
Unbelievable. That's awesome. Now, I know you can't talk about necessarily everything y'all are doing there, but at the same time, I would assume streaming?
Yes, we're going to be covering all of the events throughout the convention for sure.
So just basically covering all the events with streaming and commentary and things like that?
Yep, absolutely.
Well, that is awesome. I love watching your streams. I mean, we watch a lot here on Furious Finest and the Furious Finest Patreon Discord. We watched a lot of the streams you guys did on AdeptCon and, you know, watching Nate from the Gamers Guild take that win with our favorite Mind Loki and Avengers. Such a strong choice, but also just it was very exciting watching your reactions there as well, because, you know, this is a very live event. You know, I don't know what to call it, but I mean,
yeah,
you kind of are in the moment the whole time when you're streaming like that.
Well, and it's so cool, just with obviously there's a lot of games out there, right? And MCP, especially for streaming, especially at large events like Adepticon, the way that the game plays and the story that it tells is always so intense, isn't the right word,
right?
Just cool, right? Like at one point in one of the finals games with Nate, he has a Loki with a mind gem with a hammer or two Blind obsession on a Thanos, just punching him down. Like, it's difficult not to get excited when you're seeing stuff like that happen on such a regular basis.
No, absolutely. I was holding my breath that whole game. That was a great finals match. Right? You know, and it's anytime, you know, Black Order is such a strong team too, in the hands, especially in the hands of a player that makes it to the finals too. So, you know, of course, Steve is as well. So it was a great matchup and a great match. And the excitement was very palpable from your team and the chairs, you know, commentating this, because, it's just, it's all happening live, like I said, and it's all happening very organically. And maybe, like you said, there's an intensity and a cinematic nature to this movie, where you just don't necessarily know some of the combinations of splash characters people bring in their lists, or type of ways people play, maybe more aggressive or defensive or sort of mid-range. And then the way those transpire on the stream, right, is unknown at times. And, you know, I think it's very exciting, and I'm really looking forward to LVO, because we are planning on going, but on top and meeting everyone in the content creation community, but also just like participating, playing, and getting to know everyone there the most we can. Cause that's always the best part of a convention in my mind, is like,
yeah,
walking the floor is great, taking all in is great, but really it's these, you go through it with other people together, you know, and you form some relationships by the end. And that's our goal with LVO coming up. We have no intentions of going to any of the other big ones between now and then, but there's a lot of LVO qualifiers we're looking to make as well between now and then. So, and those have a life of their own as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to kind of circle back to your point there, one of the huge parts for us at Adepticon was kind of meeting a lot of members from the community as a whole. That was our first opportunity to meet Omnis and Nate, Dr. Norbert,
right,
and Chewy. And the thing that I'll say too is at the kind of, even the, at those final stages of each one of those events where, you know, it is a little intense and, you know, you have a lot being decided on every move, the community and the players at every single level are always so kind to each other, especially when mistakes happen or rules are forgotten or things like that. Like, everyone is always so forgiving.
Right.
And I've never seen an issue with people getting really upset or kind of agitated or back. And it's just, everyone's cool, having a good time. And it's mostly about doing cool stuff. And that's the thing that I really love about MCP is, you know, when it's down and out and it's not looking like, you know, there's a path to victory, you can still chuck people around. You can still throw a building. You can still have those little things. It's like, you know what? Well, I'm going to make fearful symmetry work this time. And there's just those little, you have so many little personal wins that you can have that just makes it all still fun in the end, regardless of how it turns out.
No, absolutely. Fearful symmetry is a win for the community as a whole. Anytime someone gets that off, that's the flavor of that card and the craziness of that card. You know, it's just, it shows the creativity in AMG. Absolutely. And, how they're willing to play on top of also making really tight rules. And I like that combination that they bring to the table. But yeah, that's very exciting. And that's just us kind of looking at the future. And I'm sure we're definitely going to cross paths for sure at LVO, but hopefully before then, potentially. And I heard recently that your team and you have crossed paths with Dylan, who is one of our strongest supporters slash now basically is in charge of the entire Fury's Finest hobby department.
I mean, if there's a person for it,
that's right.
Yeah, we met Dylan at the Atlantic City Open, and he makes an impression.
He does. That's right.
So there was a kind of a handful of people. That was our second time seeing like Matt Alex, who we met initially at Adepticon, and it's nice to see some of those faces that always kind of travel out for the conventions. But Dylan and Brian Watson, who is the TO of that. He's a regular, I think, like Midgard Games. We're going to try to stream one of the LVO qualifiers from Midgard Games later in the year. He also is going to be one of the TOs of the MCP stuff at LVO. And that was kind of his first time, as far as I'm aware, on the convention level, at least with MCP, doing that. And he impressed the Frontline Gaming people enough to be like, oh, well, you need to come to LVO now, too. So we're super excited to see him there as well.
Yeah, I love how all those happen so organically, you know, tying everyone together, but also just kind of there's passion. There's a lot of passion in this community, you know, and it's like,
yeah.
Getting these people in the right spots is obviously just a boon for everyone else, you know? And I don't know much more to say than that. It's a very positive thing. Well, Tim, we're going to talk about your experience today at ACO. But before we do that, we got a quick thing to tend to. Our patrons support Fury's Finest at patreon.com/Fury's Finest. If you enjoyed this show, consider supporting us with a monthly contribution and joining our patron Discord community. With as low as $1 a month, you can join our patron Discord community, and there's a lot of fun things happening in there at all times. We take this time to thank all of our patrons for their support. We have a very special shout out this week to the patron of the week, which is David B. Thank you, David, for becoming a patron. And of course, we got to thank our Avenger producers, Rusty, Dylan, Nathan, and Brian. Thank you, Avengers, for making this show happen. All right, let's get into our topic of Atlantic City Open. Okay, Tim, so now we're actually talking about Atlantic City Open today. So if you could guide us through what Atlantic City Open is, I know we kind of touched on it a little bit early at the top, and then how the Professional Casual Network kind of got brought into it.
Yeah, absolutely. So the Atlantic City Open, similar to a lot of wargaming conventions, especially ones that Frontline Gaming does, is kind of the East Coast version of a Lone Star Open or LVO. Right. It's certainly on the upward trend. It's growing every year. Just one huge, 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 massive room with a ton of 40K and AOS, Infinity, and Battletech. And MCP seems like it's kind of been growing very well there. I believe this might have been the first year MCP was at ACO.
I think so, yeah.
But I think it's one that is going to, MCP just kind of in general, I feel, is going to be having a much larger footprint at a lot of conventions kind of going forward. But yeah, it was, we kind of got involved with ACO, actually the TO, Brian Watson, reached out to us and he's like, hey, you know, I kind of just saw your guys' stuff at Adepticon. I'm going to be trying to TO the events at ACO. Would love it if you guys might be able to stream it.
Awesome.
And I was like, yeah, you know what? Let's try to figure it out. It's kind of in our neck of the woods. We're in upstate New York. So Jersey's like 5 or 6 hour car drive, which isn't too bad compared to, I think it was a little over 14 hours to drive out to Adepticon.
yeah, quite a different.
Yeah. So I was like, you know what, as far as things, this is technically our backyard, I guess. So let's make it work.
Right.
And we did. And yeah, it was a very, very cool experience. It was very nice because it was very, I don't know if intimate would be the right word, but there was kind of a lot of different like pods of people from different places. There was a group from Montreal that came down. There was a lot of like New Jersey locals and people from New York City and upstate New York and from some of the surrounding areas. But everyone always blends together very well around MCP.
That's right.
And that first day at ACO is kind of the pickup game day. So there's a lot of organized play kits going on. The Syndicate, or not Syndicate one, the Symbiote one. I can never remember the name of it when I actually try to talk about it.
Separation Anxiety.
Yes. It's always like a go-to. It's like this. It's a
blast.
Yeah. It's like an icebreaker, right? It's like you have a couple friends maybe there, maybe you're meeting someone else there, you have a couple more spots, so you kind of just pull in whoever's willing to play, you meet people, you have a good time, and then you get to go into the competitive stuff later later on over the weekend. So they had a big, actually two separate tournaments each day. Saturday and Sunday were kind of their own separate things. There wasn't a cut going into Sunday like we've seen at a lot of, you know, kind of standard, honestly, for a lot of events. Which was nice because you could, if you didn't do super well day one, if Saturday didn't go your way, or maybe you were trying out something, you could bring a completely different roster and squad day two and have another go.
That concept still floors me. I'm not saying it's bad. I've never experienced that in my competitive gaming life because I've played all the Star Wars games competitively over the years and those were typically FFG, right? And they were always that sort of FFG format where it's like day one is, you know, the big day, you know, and then day two is like the cut. And then like the end of day two is like the cut of the cut, you know? And I just, when I heard about that with LVO, I was like, okay, this is a really interesting format for MCP. I've got to kind of rewire my brain as a player. And, seems really enjoyable because, like you said, you can even change your list, which is a crazy thing to me.
Right?
You could be playing, I don't know, you could be playing Black Order one day and you could be playing maybe Wakanda the next day, right? It's a very crazy flip. And I do find that refreshing because, so basically, at the end of the day, people know if they've made it or not, correct? That first day?
Well, so yeah, so it was the entire tournament was held in one day. So like you had the champion by the end of the fourth or fifth round or whatever it turned out to be. And I think a lot of that was based on the number of people there because it is a growing convention and very much a growing game at that particular convention. Okay. But so yeah, day two was a fresh tournament. So there was no, it was just best of those first five rounds with tiebreakers. So
slightly different from the LVO format because the LVO format was like 3 days, essentially. It was 2 days of, you know, the big pool and you get a second try. If you didn't do well on the first day, or you just want to try it again the second day. And then kind of like the third day was just the finals per se. So interesting. Yeah. So just two whole tournaments, just full fledged tournaments.
Yeah. Yep.
Pretty intense.
and kind of like you said, like I think it kind of opened up people's minds a little bit too, where, and maybe that's not the format to go forward. And I'm sure there will potentially be changes there, but
sure.
To have someone come in, there was one of the guys from Montreal, which was, they were just a fantastic group. One of them ended up winning the LVO qualifier ticket from the first day to go to LVO next year. And one of them brought Asgard first for the first day. He was like, you know what? I've been trying this out. I'm really excited. At that point, because they kind of broke the news about Heimdall and Scourge during that first day, had no idea that those were about to be teased and put out. He was like, yeah, I want to try it out. I'll play Brotherhood tomorrow. That's what I play most days. But I figured day one, you know, I have the opportunity. Why not try it out in a tournament setting? And there was a couple players like that. And that was actually just kind of really nice to see that they weren't. There was a handful of people there that just weren't so committed to playing Brotherhood or Black Order or, you know, whatever was going to be competitive, that they wanted to just try out new stuff that they had never used in that setting before.
That's great. Yeah. So you're saying that one of those players ended up actually winning one of the days?
Well, so that player that brought Asgard day one, he I think made it pretty far. I think he went 3-1 or 4-1 towards at the end of that day one. He didn't
that's far, take
the LVO qualifier that day. His buddy did, that he came down with, who was playing X-Men Gold.
Right.
And day two, though, he switched to Brotherhood and then ended up winning day two.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was an all Montreal championship, really.
Wow. Yeah, they came down. They took it all. That's excellent. X-Men Gold is my current team, so that's exciting to hear as well. They did well at a major event.
Yeah.
Yeah. So X-Men, yeah, and some Brotherhood action and some Montreal teams popping in. So the 2 day format. So what did it look like for you and the group of you that went down there? Was it just, did you do anything before the actual tournament days? Like, did you get settled in or what did that look like?
Yeah. So I always like to be there at least a day or two early. Mm-hmm. We always have a ton of equipment to set up, trying to figure out our space. And when you go to a convention and we've only been to two, but the day before the convention starts is always kind of a spectacle into itself.
That's absolutely true. Yeah.
Between figuring out, you know, if you're going to have tables or tablecloths or chairs or where things are going, will you have power? Is internet going to happen? Who knows? It's just that, you know, it's kind of its own party in itself. So we got out there, Taylor and I got out there, I think Thursday, like we left super early in the morning. Like I think we got there like early afternoon.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Got our equipment in, got set up, got banners and tables and all that, kind of met everyone, saw the lay of the land, met some of the other TOs and organizers and stuff. But Thursday was kind of just, let's get set up. Let's get, you know, our feet kind of on the ground, know where things are going to be. And then Friday was the casual play day or the open play day. So we were normally getting there like 8 o'clock in the morning, sometimes a little bit earlier, kind of based around when events were going to start. And then, we're there in those seats with Taylor normally at the side of the table with a wireless mic kind of calling out what plays are going to happen for 8, 10, 12, 14 hours at a time.
That's a long time. Yeah,
it is.
That's how those tournament days go. Yeah, whether you're a player or a content creator like this, like you're in it for the long haul, you know, especially if you keep doing well, I suppose, as a player, you know, because you're going to get some more games to play. Very exciting. So you got there early, you set up. You kind of get the lay of the land and you figure out, you know, okay, we do have power. We do have internet. We can set up our cameras. Mm-hmm. What did this tournament in particular look like on the first actual day of events, which you said was Saturday?
Yeah. Yep. So Saturday, and Frontline Gaming runs a really kind of unique experience as far as events go too, right? There's kind of there's food and an a cash bar kind of like in the event area. So kind of have this, I mean, and it was this massive room. I mean, it had to have been like a football field, if not very close to it, maybe even probably a little bit wider of tables upon tables. And I think they had, I might be speaking completely incorrectly here, but I think it was like something like 200 tables of games going on.
Right.
And you have, you know, Legion next to Infinity and Armada and all that stuff. And it's just, it's cool to see everyone kind of interact a little bit. And you have people there for, especially, and this was actually kind of the very cool thing about having two separate tournaments going on throughout the weekend is, one of the people that we met at Adepticon, Keebler, plays Lord of the Rings and Legion and MCP.
Yeah, you're speaking to me here. Yeah.
Right. So, and pretty much everyone here at the network is getting into Legion too.
I heard that on your recent episodes. I'm very excited.
Yeah. We've been following the Fifth Trooper, and they had a really good season on how to get into the game and figuring out what you want to play and getting started and stuff. That was very good. We really like Jay Shalansky, who we also met at Adepticon. And it's cool to see kind of all of that happening, and you have a different event starting at different times, so it's kind of like you have your own little section that you're going to for your game. MCP was kind of, you know, in a corner, kind of had a big section there, so it was like that was like your home base, and then you're like, okay, I'm going to spread out a little to AOS, which is next door, and Battletech on the other side, and then you hear the 40K players start wogging every once in a while, and you're like, all right, well, I need to go over there and check out some display boards and the like. But it's a very neat scene, and there's something to having that big massive open room with everyone in it, where there's this constant flow of kind of like energy going back and forth and events starting and stopping. That's very, very nice.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, if it's that large, it's hard to picture. I mean, absolutely insane. And like we talked about at the top of the show, obviously this is one of those conventions that without a doubt every year is growing exponentially and catching up to the other big ones, you know? And I've heard a lot about ACO over the last couple of years, in particular being plugged into the Legion community so much, and how it's kind of, the Legion has been growing massively in recent years. And I was like, oh, when I heard that MCP joined this year, I was like, well, that's only good for everybody, because I've seen what's gone on with Legion and this particular convention, and you know, they sell out, you know, I mean, they run out of table space. Like there's not enough Legion players. There's more than can even show up and play. Right. And like to fit in the space, because we've got all these different systems. So yeah, it's very exciting for you to be there as a streamer and content creator. So with all that going on, what's it like the day of the tournament where you like start streaming, like day one?
So it's always a scramble day one. So even having the, you know, kind of the open play game there Friday, Saturday, we're getting down there, we're trying to get breakfast, and there's a lot of people interact with kind of along the path, and making sure that you can get in there and set up before line start for whatever event happens to be earliest that day is always kind of its own.
Okay.
Navigation to which doors are open. How can I even access the spot that we're supposed to be at? And I think day one, as far as the tournament, the competitive stuff for ACO, there's a little bit of a buzz because some people know others so far, but no one has really gotten to know each other yet. As far as a lot of the different players and where they've come from, they're sticking kind of to their own little groupings and the people they know. And that melts away by round two very quickly, especially as people get pairings and stuff. And I have to absolutely shout out Brian Watson as the TO, ran that entire event himself. He was the only tournament official for that. And if people had issues or contentions or rules, things come up, like he was on it. He was respectful. Everyone was super respectful to him. It was really, really, really cool to see at an event like that. Especially kind of being, you know, helmed by one dude.
Wow. Yeah.
job. And he did a very good job too. In the opener, he gathers everyone around and he says, hey, you know what? If you have complaints, come to me. If you have issues with the rules, it's not with your opponent, bring it to me. And he made a very good atmosphere to kind of start those tournaments off well. One of the neat things that kind of happened throughout the weekend is we saw kind of a lot of, like, we saw like four, I think, X-Men Gold teams the first day. We were kind of following, well, Mm-hmm. Here's the other ones that were performing well, and there was that divide. Same with Guardians of the Galaxy, where there was like two players playing them, and one won and one lost in round one. So you're like kind of following them and seeing how they're doing and stuff. And yeah, it's really interesting from the, I guess maybe not quite the analytical section, but as you're kind of calling out some of these games and stuff, the way different matchups go, and even having some of the same matchup on two different tables, but them having very, very, very different results.
Oh man.
Just as kind of one of the things is, you know, you're never really out of this. It doesn't matter who or what affiliation you're playing or who you're going up against. It's really anyone's game at any point. And that's what makes it great to cover, you know?
I think it's the reason we all love this game so much is like, you're really never out of it. And you should see all your games to the end, because like you said, in the least, it's going to be fun and cinematic. And maybe you're just trying to get that final KO and, you know, get the moral victory. Or, you know, with the days mechanic in this game and the power mechanic in this game and how objective focused it is, you can always come back, right? Different players play different ways and things like that. And I find that very interesting. You're talking about these matchups that are happening and these different sort of teams that are showing up off and on day one. And that's kind of like with this tournament, it's very unique because it is two tournaments in one weekend where you can switch your list. So you've kind of got like two different metas per se, and different interactions of players. And then you've got, well, that guy played gold team X-Men really well on day one. I'm sure people are thinking, is he going to return day two? And will I have a plan for that? Or is he going to switch, like you said, to Brotherhood or something? Mm-hmm. Or maybe just a completely left field team, right? From his play style before, go more an attrition team, like a Black Order or something. So that has to be absolutely compelling and just strange as a observer commentator, where you're like, well, we got 2 days of this that are completely different lists and teams, and we got an initial meta, and then I struggle to say a counter meta, but you know, sort of a, like you said, either people are maybe working extra hard the second day because maybe they were day one, they were trying something more fun, like you said, or they just want to kick into overdrive day two, or maybe some people are reacting to what they saw. You know, it's like, I'm a convocation player, and if I saw maybe a ton of Guardians players, maybe I consider not playing Convocation Day 2, because truly Convocation's biggest weakness is that energy, right? And Guardians are really good at that energy. But at the same time, I don't know. I feel like in my mind, I would maybe play the same team both days, because when do you ever have an opportunity to play one team, two tournaments in one weekend? Like, you know, it's just so rare.
Right.
They all have such fast and busy lives, and to get that sort of competitive experience 2 days in a row, two separate tournaments, is that's pretty unreal. Once again, this, I'm still rewiring my brain here with this format. It's very interesting, and I appreciate that insight you brought with that.
It's like a shot at redemption. You know what I mean? Like, as Chuck always says on the show, you know, if you got a fistful of dice and a pocket full of dreams, you got a fighting chance. Like, you're never out of it.
No, absolutely. No, he's nailed it there. And with that all said, did you see, with day one coming to a close, so I guess we could talk about some of the final games you guys covered, any notable standout things that happened? You did mention there was a strong X-Men gold team, which interests me a lot, playing them a lot right now, but also, like, were there other teams that were standouts to you? And maybe, like, that X-Men gold team, was there anything different going on there?
There was, and this is probably more telling about myself as a player, but I regularly forget to use the Storm Hop, like, all the time. Storm Hop
it's a crazy thing. Yeah.
And the player that took the LVO qualifier ticket day one was just doing an incredible job. Like, he knew when it needed to be used, how to use it, and really maximized it every single time. We saw a couple really good, incredibly important possessions from Dr. Voodoo as well, kind of throughout a lot of different affiliations, where some people focused them a little bit. Other people, you know, it's difficult to focus fire Dr. Voodoo down.
It is.
But getting him away, or spending his power, or just kind of getting him, you know, out of the thick of it, seemed to kind of be one of the more interesting things that we were seeing, how people were reacting to him, and X-23 as well.
Yeah.
people reacting and players reacting to her being on the table and when she's going to do the things that she does best and how was very interesting to see. We saw people completely ignore her, just use throws and pushes and just get her over there. And then we also saw people was like, all right, well, that's the first target. We have to take down X-23 and then I don't have to worry about her. I want to take it off of my list of things to be concerned about.
The way I interpret that is you were seeing X-23 different places, different teams, or?
Yes. Outside of X-Men. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I think we saw her on a couple different Avengers team. There was a Sam Avengers list that she performed very well on.
Ooh, that sounds scary. Yeah.
And there was another team too. I can't quite remember who it was or what they were playing. I think it was a Shadowlands Daredevil.
Yep. I had a feeling you were going to say that.
Yep. Yeah.
Turns out when she's got already a native reroll of Pierce and then she give her more rerolls, she's deleting models. Yeah, that's what she's doing. Absolutely. Yep. So a lot of X-23. So any standout moments in the final match? And what were the two final teams, if you remember off the top of your head?
Yeah, I believe for day one and going into this event, there was no announcement of an LVO qualifier happening during this. Wow. So it was kind of announced towards the end of day one that whoever walked away that day with the, you know, with the belt was gonna have that ticket. And that was certainly the X-Men gold player.
Okay, Tim. So with, you know, the day of Saturday ending, and you said there was a lot of great, interesting matches and games going on and teams.
Yeah.
What ended up being the final two players and teams? You already mentioned X-Men gold, so I'm in suspense hearing about it, but what were the two teams looking like?
So, So X-Men Gold was played by Simon Jerry, who's one of the Montreal group. And then he was actually up against Matt Alex, who played a Web Warriors list.
Oh, there it is. I knew it. Yeah. It's like, where's our Web Warrior player? There it is.
They played Spider Infected and Cosmic Invasion. It went 16-11, but it was mostly the scoring in that final activation there that and the possession that really kind of kicked it off. I know that Matt had, I want to say, I don't think we saw Amazing Spider-Man, but Miles had done a ton of work.
Right.
And he also had Dr. Voodoo. So that was kind of that play there where, you know, even though they were a little bit behind, having two constant threats on the board, being able to take away your ability to score or just straight up take off your objective tokens was kind of a really neat constant counterplay. But that's where we saw some really good storm hops and throws. Simon Jerry, the X-Men gold players, Storm was every round throwing a very big threat away, not even into other things or into people, just away.
Love it. So you mentioned Miles, you mentioned Voodoo on the Web Warrior team. Was Voodoo also on the X-Men team or no?
Yes. Yeah. It was, Voodoo's on both sides.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's kind of who gets the possession off first and who does what. Very interesting. So I'm assuming X-23 made some appearances. I don't know if she made in this final game, but I'm assuming our X-Men gold player might've had her.
Yes. Yep. X-23 was on that X-Men gold team for sure. So that whole roster, I can run that down that really quick, was Storm, Beast, Domino, Magic, X-23, Rogue, Jean Grey, Ghost Spider, Dr. Voodoo, and Juggernaut. And I think we saw Beast out there pretty much every round or every game for the X-Men gold team. And Beast is absolutely slept on.
Absolutely. No, he is a super fast, great control model that a lot of people just don't respect. Yeah, absolutely. He can get to where he needs to be, especially with those secures that X-Men likes so much. Very exciting. So then it was a Web Warriors player. Do you have his list by chance? Because I'm very intrigued now that we had a X versus Web Warrior finale.
I do, yeah. So Web Warriors was, the full roster was Amazing Spider-Man, Miles, Venom, Ghost Spider, Moon Knight, Black Cat, Dr. Voodoo, Toad, Lizard, and Juggernaut as well.
Just a perfect Web Warriors roster right there. Yeah, that's a lot of options. Yeah, that's really good. So Juggernaut, that's something we haven't touched on yet. And I think it's the massive Juggernaut elephant in the room at this point, because I'm assuming you guys saw a lot of him in the weekend and a lot of his card being used where he throws someone long.
Absolutely. Yep.
Okay. Okay. So he was all over the place outside of course, his Brotherhood mainstay. No surprises there, but it's fun to hear that he was kind of used in different ways. obviously using him with the Storm Hop, something I've done recently a lot. It's really fun. Mm-hmm. And obviously him and Web Warriors, he's not going away. He's defensive, you know? So there's a lot of interesting things going on there, but you're saying in the end, the X-Men Gold player won it 16-11. It's just kind of that final swing turn.
Yep. And okay. I forget which game it was. It wasn't the finals, but there was a game that happened over the weekend where a Juggernaut got a hold of the Senator.
Okay.
Yes. And just ran away and hid. And it was a lot of threat to have off the table. But to see this cat and mouse game of people chasing down and trying to figure out, all right, well, how do I get over there and do that? Yep. Like was very interesting to see. But yeah, a lot of Juggernaut on Juggernaut battles.
Very cool. Very cool. Okay. So that's day one, which is very exciting. What was day two looking like for you guys? I'm assuming you were very tired day one.
Yeah.
Did you guys survive? I mean, did you get to hang out with anybody after the finals were done day one? Like what did the evening of day one look like
before
we go into day two?
We got to hang out with a couple players from the tournament. We went out to dinner with Mitch Cohen and Robert was his name, who was with him. And okay. Mitch is a regular in our stream, loves banning powers while we're playing games and blaring air horns and stuff. He's an absolute delight.
Heard so that we were, on your shoes,
yeah. Right. So yeah, we were super thrilled to meet him in person. But yeah, so we went out, we had some dinner, and honestly we went back and crashed.
I would imagine. So what does day two look like? How early do you guys have to get there? And like is the tournament any different? Is it same starting time? What's day two looking like when we're at the top of the day?
Yep. So a day starts out the same. It's that scramble, get the equipment down there, try to get ahead of the crowd, grab some breakfast, which once again was very nice in that particular convention hall that there was a food vendor right there. So you can go over, grab a bagel or a breakfast sandwich and kind of didn't have, it was one thing less that we had to worry about. But a smaller group day two, people going either to other tournaments or traveling back home. Sunday's always a big travel day for people. So it was only a 4-round tournament that day, but you get to see a lot of the people you really enjoyed from the day before, especially after people get to know each other a little bit better. There's a lot more. The energy in the room on the day two is always so radically different. It is.
Okay. In what way?
It's the anxieties just kind of been burned off quite a bit, whether it's from staying up a little late the night before or getting to know the people that were there day one and to be more familiar, and you already have friends or you're familiar with people and what they're playing. So day two has actually a really, really, really nice vibe, I guess.
That's really nice. That's nice.
Really friendly. But so day two was only 4 rounds. I think it totaled maybe 10 players compared to day one. That was, I think, significantly higher. The group from Montreal just carved a path through both days.
Yeah. So I want to talk about this final table of day two, if you have it too, because now we're talking about a different Montreal member from Montreal. And what were the two lists and the two players looking like on this final table?
So same final player for X-Men Gold from day one, Simon Jerry, made it up with the same list. His opponent, though, was very familiar to him, as he traveled with him. And it was Nick Menard, who day one had played Asgard and Avengers. And then on day two, he ended up bringing a Brotherhood list, facing off against his friend here in the finals. And he ran Juggernaut, Rogue, Mystique, and Toad.
Oh, a Mystique Brotherhood.
Yeah, which was kind of cool to see up against Simon, who was running X-Men Gold with Storm, Beast, Magic, and also a Juggernaut. So they played Sword Base, which is and Fear. Oh. Fear grips the world. So we had hammers and sword bases.
Okay. The Brotherhood player ended up taking this game, correct?
He did. Yep.
We didn't have Simon win 2 days in a row, but he almost did.
Yeah, he certainly had a chance to. So I think that game ended 17-11. They played it at 14 threat. But yeah, so it was really cool too. The TO, Brian Watson, made these little, not little, they were actually pretty like softball sized or bigger infinity cubes as prizes and painted them up. They looked really cool. So both Simon and Jared, Simon and Nick got to go back to Montreal with one of them each.
Wow. Yeah. Taking some infinity cubes home as your trophies, be a very cool thing. And like you said, They carpooled together, which is the craziest part. But, you know, sometimes that happens because players do really good testing against each other and put each other through the ringer and training. And then they end up seeing each other in like the cuts and stuff. You know, it happens a lot.
It's interesting, too. We were talking to them about the meta in Montreal for them and how it plays differently for players in New Jersey or New York or Connecticut. And yeah, that's everyone's own kind of like local pocket plays things very differently. So it's kind of neat to see those things kind of mesh.
That is super cool. Yeah. And like the interactions of people coming from different places. And like we said, just this sort of one weekend meta, you know, just kind of amalgamates, you know, from nothing, which is very cool. And yeah, that's just crazy that they were both from the same carpool. I love it so much. So that spells the end of the MCP events, right? At this point.
Yeah. For ACO. Yep. That was the final bit of that particular convention.
Okay. So what did the rest of the day look like for you all on Sunday? Was it just like cleanup or were there other things going on or what?
Yeah, a little bit of a mix. So a couple people on our team, Dan and Danny, are both teachers. So they left kind of pretty early in the day before the tournament was over to drive back up to New York. So Taylor and I kind of finished out the rest of the day. Brian, the TO, actually stopped by and helped us commentate a little bit on one of the final games too, which is really cool. But yeah, so the end of after that kind of winds down, it's a little bit earlier in the day. We met a few players and some people from other games as they were finishing up and hung out with some Legion players. The Fifth Trooper guys are always really cool.
Oh, yeah.
Just kind of went down to the cafeteria and just kind of like mingled. It's kind of a neat situation at the end of a convention where some people are kind of on their way out and other people don't have flights until tomorrow or late in the morning or what have you. So it's just kind of sometimes you get a pickup games but it's just a lot of just hanging out and seeing how people did and how they felt and talking about lists and their matchups and wild parts of the games and stuff. It's pretty cool. There was one player that had, because Black Swan and Supergiant came out like the day before this convention happened. So there was one player, Steve, that had a Black Swan like assembled, painted, and it looked actually very good for the time that he probably had the model in hand to play out there. So it's always neat to see what the freshest things are and how they impact these conventions, especially as stuff is regularly coming out.
Oh, absolutely. And speaking of like impact and stuff, so you talk about that last game. There's two rogues in that game, as you said. And we talked about Juggernaut and X-23 being various different places and teams. Mm-hmm. Was there any other models that just struck you as like interesting splashes that you saw a lot of or a little of? Was there anything in particular like that stood out from this particular weekend meta, as we talked about, whereas like you talked about a good spattering of teams, but where there's just certain models, you know, outside of the ones we talked about already, maybe the Voodoos and the Juggernauts and stuff of the world that made an appearance in kind of a show?
Yeah, actually, there was a Jean Grey that we saw that we weren't expecting. It was on one of the other X-Men Gold lists, as well as a... what was it? A Black Panther, who, you know, when you can so heavily rely on those pushes, there's certainly objectives where he's a little expensive as a splash, obviously, but even if it's baiting out an Indomitable or something like that just to get rid of it. We saw a lot of heavy work day one from an Avengers team with Black Panther. Also Loki with no gem. We saw popping up more than Loki with a gem.
Wow. That is interesting. Yeah. That four threat spot though. It's people want it. So maybe that's the case. Yeah. Black Panther just continues to be one of the best splashes in the game. He's so consistent, you know, he's fast. Yeah. He's been excellent since the day he came out, and he came out in the spring of 2020, you know, so crazy thing that he's still so viable and relevant. I mean, he was in Nate's list from Adepticon, right? So it's just a cool thing to see Black Panther out there doing what he does, pushing people, like you said, left and right. So very cool. So some Lokis, some Black Panthers, and various sounds like mutants all over the place, you know, mutants splashed into teams. And then of course some representation of Brotherhood and X-Men, which makes us happy here on Fury's Finest. Cause
yeah,
those are some of our largest affinities in Marvel for us personally, or is that franchise. So,
I mean, it's no Havoc Unity Force, you know what I mean? But like, it's,
I do.
Yeah. It's on its way there.
Yeah. There's a lot of X mutants that, you know, we're all holding our breath, but are we really holding our breath? It's AMG. They've given us such good stuff and continue to. I feel very safe with them, you know, with my mutant love for sure.
And that's the thing too, when you're talking about like longevity with a game, right? Like there's still right. So like my the list of things that I need to come out for this game is never under 10. And that's because I'm limiting it to 10. So right, like it's going to be around for a while. There's going to be a lot of X-Men to release for a very long time.
Well, yeah. And this is the thing the Wills said early on. They talked about this when they came on our show a long time ago. They said, you know, their goal with this is to make this game be one of those great games that goes on 10, 20, 30 years, right? Where it's yeah. like that it has a legacy and a player base that love it and keep it going and keep models coming out and keep new rules coming out and stuff. And it's just so powerful in a system like this where anyone can be splashing any team. It's just so unusual compared to other miniatures games, you know, where you have to buy into a particular army. It's absolutely unique in that way. And I think it rewards you for buying models and putting paint time and play time in with them, right? Because you can play them anywhere you want.
Well, yeah, right. And it has kind of a low barrier of entry. Like right, if you are right. only interested in X-Men, it's actually pretty reasonable, especially relative to minis games, to be able to buy some X-Men and play.
Yeah. Like play well. Yeah. And play well. Yeah. A team yep. that you like. Couldn't agree more. Yeah. So Tim, before we close out the show, I got a couple of questions for you unrelated to Atlantic City Open. And I think I know some of these answers because I've been a long time listener of your show now and really enjoying you guys' weekly content. But a couple questions over here. Who is your favorite model in Marvel Crisis Protocol right now, just to play, but also maybe it could also just be your favorite model? Because sometimes people have favorite models that might not be their favorite model to play, but I think you've got a few that kind of fit some of these categories. So I'm yes. curious what your answer is here, though.
Yeah, that's actually tough. First off, thank you. I really appreciate that. And I'll say we've been following you guys for a very long time, too. We really dig how much I really like the lore episodes very specifically. And it's like I get up to date without having to, you know what I mean? Like I learned so much from you guys and I really appreciate it. Chuck, too, I know has been a longtime fan, and he's the one that told me about you guys.
Oh, but, awesome.
Yeah, as far as favorite models, that's, I mean, I love Bullseye so much.
I knew it. I knew it's coming.
There's just something about a dude that's just hucking stuff in there with Thor and Iron Man and Hulkbuster. Like, it just, it tickles me so much.
Just hucking stuff in the back. Yeah, throwing whatever he can find, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, just paper clips and empty cans. Yeah, he's the best, man. I really like him. As far as, like, models, though, I adore Hulkbuster.
Okay.
I am kind of, I always want to go as wide as possible. So it is a commitment for me to take a 5 or a 6, but I would take Hulkbuster every game. And I did for a while until the people I play against were like, can you knock it off, please? I was like, but you don't understand. He throws stuff and I like it a lot. And also a nice punch, kind of.
Nice punch.
Or built kinda. To take it.
Yeah.
I mean,
built to take it. Yeah. It's great. His health is deceptive. You know, he's got a lot more than it seems, especially if you count the little emergency Hulkbuster suit that comes out, you know, the emergency Iron Man that comes out. So, mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Good answers. I had a feeling it was going to be Bullseye on the first one, and no one would fault you on that because, of course he's an incredibly fun model, but this new Bullseye in this two threat world we live in, he's just excellent everywhere. You know,
yeah.
You can play him whatever you want and have a blast doing it. So moving on to more of these fun questions, what is your current favorite Ultimate Encounter? Because I know you guys do a lot of the OP kits, so I'm going to specifically talk about the Ultimate Encounter first before we get into just the more generalized, you know, scenarios. Anything that stands out at the moment?
As far as Ultimate Encounters, I want to say, I really want to be able to play the Magneto one again a couple times. I feel I didn't. It was cool. I really like it. And I love Magneto, but
it's pretty intensive.
Yeah, I think Dread Dormammu was awesome.
The actual Dormammu Ultimate Encounter.
Yeah. Yep.
Yep. Yeah, where he's got his portals out, and he's coming out on the map in different places.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah.
I really like that one. There was a lot going on. There's a couple different ways. There's a lot to pay attention to. And yeah, I really dug that one. Though I mean, this is one of those things I'm going to answer like 18 answers, but
I love it. I love it. Keep it going.
Yeah. The Juggernaut War, the Unstoppable Colossus.
Yes.
Things that we can play, especially without having mm-hmm. someone to be the bad guy, though I always love being the cosmic threat.
But that one's a little unique in that way, the AI.
Yeah. I really dig that. I think they're doing very well with their organized play kits and their ultimate encounters, mixing it up between letting someone be the big bad and also having the kind of AI controlled ones. And I'm really happy to see that they are continuing to kind of put those out.
No, absolutely. Weird fun fact about that one in particular, if you really did like that one, which means a lot to me because I actually designed that one. For AMG.
The Juggernaut one?
Yeah, the Unstoppable Colossus. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I keep saying that wrong. But.
I know. It's interchangeable, right? But it's cooler because it's Colossus in my mind. Yeah, I had the privilege of doing that for them. And it's so cool seeing it out in the world and people's responses to it because it is a different thing.
Yeah.
I don't know how to describe it other than that. And it was a labor of love and excitement. And I just feel privileged I got to work with AMG a little bit in that capacity, you know, and do a little bit of development work for them.
That is so cool. And I'll tell you too, like it is very rare. Normally when a kit comes out, we want to mm-hmm. play it on stream immediately. We played that one 2 weeks in a row. Like
that's exciting.
Yeah. It's the only one I think we've ever done that with. And yeah, it was a blast, and it was very well done. Very good job, sir.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it. The recent thing I played on that one for myself for fun, that is my personal anecdote on this, is Trident has a miniature of that Colossus now that you can buy from either their Gumroad page, the Trident miniatures, and print it off yourself, or buy it from some sort of seller online and they print it off for you. But it's just cool because like if you get that miniature and you paint it too, it's like you're like, oh, this is the Juggernaut Colossus miniature, you know.
Yeah.
And you can also put it on the 65 millimeter base if you want, just to increase the difficulty a little bit too, you know, and make him just that more imposing, you know, because he's got a little bit more movement, you know, he's on the Juggernaut base.
We did the first time because we didn't know better.
You know, the rules don't say any other way. You actually get to decide the base size you want. So I find it so cool. There's third parties out there that have the options for the alt sculpts that like fit these scenarios. Ultimate Encounters aside, are there any other just of the OP kit type thematic things that AMG has done that really you enjoy? Because I think a lot of these Ultimate Encounters and these kits get missed by a lot of the greater community. And that's not the case with your network. You guys play them all. So I think I'm in a unique position here to ask, like, is there any that you have played? You mentioned Separation Anxiety earlier, but anything else?
Yeah. And I've talked about this one a lot recently, but I am head over heels about Renewal of Vows.
Mm, the Mystique and Destiny wedding, yeah.
It was so cool. It was so unique. It came out during Pride, which was perfect. And just the sense of humor with it was just so right up my alley. Like,
oh man, that was it, the Gambit DJ?
He's not doing a good job. Like Gambit annoys party guests, but like with awful DJing and there's party cups and
oh man.
It was so good. Sarah Rowan did such an incredible job with that. Like I'm still in love. Like it's been, we ran all three of them at ACO streaming on the first day during the casual day. And then over the last few weeks, even with that, we took a break to run Hela when she came out or Ultimate Encounter.
Right.
But yeah, we went right back to it. I had a conversation with Dan this past weekend and we were like, so are we going to finish up Renewal of Vows or are we going to go back to, it was like, you know, I know it's been like a month now, but yeah, we're going to finish it. I need to, you know, use that power with Destiny to try to guess how many crits I'm going to roll and get power for it. And it's so fun. I adored that one so much.
Perfect choice. Yeah.
Yep.
Excellent. Excellent recommendation. And so we could be potentially seeing you doing more of that on the stream soon. Potentially.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. We love those. And it's been a while since we played. I really liked the Vibranium heist. I really like scenarios where like reinforcements get brought in and you have mm-hmm. a player that's like trying to stem the flow of the other player's power and stuff. I really dig that. So
yeah, that's what the other Dormammu scenario is. The one you play pre fighting him. There's a Dormammu scenario like that as well. The Domain of the Dread Dormammu. And I think the Ultimate Encounter is called the Dread Lord, something like that. But yeah, that one has reinforcements as well. And I do like that mechanic a lot because it feels like the movies, you know, it feels like the comics. It feels very evocative of bringing in more heroes or villains to deal with the other side.
Exactly.
Oh, very good. Well, closing out, I've got to ask, like, what is your favorite affiliation to play? And then after affiliation to play, what is one of those models you mentioned that is on your short list for the future that you might like to see in the game?
Like, my go-to affiliation is Crime Syndicate.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not super great at making sure that I have enough people on positions. So Kingpin Crime Syndicate very specifically is a, is a sweet spot for me. And as far as, like a short list of character, I want Phantom X or Quentin Quire so bad. I love those two. And yeah, and Wiccan. I'm a huge Young Avengers fan. Hulkling and Wiccan Speed, just that whole team. I would adore them.
Yeah, you're speaking to Chris right now, my co-host, who, Young Avengers. He's waiting for all that too and very excited that that's obviously what they're setting up in the MCU right now. There's a lot of directions with that as well. So
and Thunderbolts is a new affiliation I would adore.
Okay.
Thunderbolts and Young Avengers are like my two. That was when I was like really into comics, was that just post-Civil War.
I remember that era. Yeah, that's kind of when I was pretty heavily into comics too. Yeah, it was it was a good time in those 2000s there. A lot of that good content going on. Yeah, okay. So great suggestions. Some curveball characters. Not curveball in the way of I couldn't see AMG making them, but just inspired choices here, Tim. This is very good.
That's the thing is like they throw out like an Arnim Zola or something like that.
Right.
And like I get like really like scarily excited about characters like that. It's like, are you kidding me? Yeah, let's go.
Let's go. Yeah, and I think something we do here on Fury's Finest and makes us enjoy the game more is these deep dives on lores and diving into the character strategy too, and like just really digging into one character, because then it's like oh man, I didn't think I was that much of a fan of this character in the comics, and then like now I come on the other side of this on the podcast and also like playing them in the game, and I'm just like, I'm all about it now. You know,
it's like right?
The mechanics are so good and it's so fun.
Absolutely.
But I figured your answer might be the Criminal Syndicate. Very strong team, and Kingpin is a force on the table, and I really appreciated recently you playing with Dr. D in your Kingpin attire.
First off, I forgot to mention that, like, meeting him and Kara at ACO was an absolute blast, and he had reached out and was like, hey, you know, or actually it was there, and he was like, you know, if it'd have to be on like a holiday Monday, and I was like, yo, July 4th, like, let's do it. And he came down and he's like, is it cool if I can, if I cosplay? And I was like, well, I'm going to scramble for something now, but yeah. So I was like, well, I can't do Cyclops, cause I do that too often.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to figure something out. So yeah, shaved my face clean. I still haven't really recovered from that.
Yeah. That's a tough thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just so weird. You know, my chin is so cold all the time, and that's not a part of my body that I felt like I remembered being there.
And just went full Kingpin. That's what you have to do, you know? Vincent D'Onofrio does it so well, you know? He would be proud, I think.
I was scrambling. My wife and I were going to, like, multiple stores trying to find red Hawaiian shirts.
Narrow it down.
But just couldn't find it. So, you know, we went with a black suit jacket and a white Hawaiian shirt. But close enough.
Solid.
Professionally casual.
Professionally casual. Hey, you had the cane. That's, you know, that sells it, right?
That was so fun. If there's anyone out there that if your opponent will allow you to move your models around with a stick, I would highly suggest it. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, what a great opponent too, you know. They're just letting you, they're just like, okay, all right, yeah. You're like, I'm gonna push your model with the cane. Good stuff. Fury's Finest is supported by our wonderful patrons. You can become a Fury's Finest patron by going to patreon.com/Fury's Finest. You can find us on social media, different places, Twitter at Fury's Finest Cast, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitch at Fury's Finest. And you can always email us at furiesfinest@gmail.com with any inquiries, ideas, or collaborations. And if you leave us reviews on your podcast platform of choice, it really helps us out. As I'm sure Tim knows and says on his show as well, because it's the world we live in as podcasters. You know, this is the algorithm, all these things, they exist. Visibility, you know, these are things we have to deal with in this world.
Yeah.
But, you know, every time you leave a review, it makes the show more accessible to other people and hopefully gets more people into Marvel Crisis Protocol, which is our goal here, and Marvel Comics and the MCU, which is our goal here. So thank you to Approaching Nirvana for music, and help spread the word of our show by subscribing and sharing it when you can. You can find me, Jesse, on Twitter and Instagram at Jesse Aiken. Tim, where can everyone find you and where can everyone find the Professional Casual Network?
So the easiest place is professionalcasual.com. That has links to all the socials and the Twitch streams and all that good stuff. We do kind of a whole bunch of different stuff over there. But Mondays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays are our Marvel Crisis Protocol streams over on Twitch, twitch.tv/professionalcasualnetwork. Mondays, battle reports, like live. We play some live games. Wednesdays, a hobby hangout, and Thursdays, news and stuff.
Awesome. Yeah, and so Thursday is actually your show I listen to every week on the podcast format.
Which comes out on the following Tuesday.
That's right. Wait, did I roll a wild? And of course, you can either follow their show on your podcast platform of choice, or as Tim said, you can watch it live on Thursdays on Twitch. It's whatever you prefer and whatever you have time for, I guess, as well. But I've caught you guys a couple times on your actual live stream and I've really enjoyed that. But mainly an audio format listener here.
It's just so easy, like especially on commutes to work. Today, yes. I listened to episode 103 and 104 of Fury's Finest on the way to and from, and it's like,
oh, nice.
You know, I don't think that there's a better way to spend a car ride.
It definitely helps with travel and, you know, walking the dog or whatever various activities we do, you know, mowing the lawn. I love to always be plugged into the community when I can. And I follow the podcast for that reason. And you guys are at the top of my list of quality and production and positivity, which are all priorities here for us on Fury's Finest.
Really appreciate that. And likewise, man, for real.
Now, I appreciate you guys listening and us getting to work together like this. And hopefully this is something we can get going more in the future, because now we kind of know we're going to coalesce the beginning of next year in this sort of LVO format and hang. So,
yeah, I'm actually really excited for that. So,
yeah, me too. So I'm hoping we can all do something maybe before then in preparation, but also, of course, then in particular, because there's going to be so many moving parts, so many things going on. And I get so excited about big tournaments, but I also get so excited about conventions because it's something I've been doing for many years, various conventions, just through different passion projects of mine. And this is my first time going to LVO. So it's going to be a whole new convention for me in particular. And, tournament and getting to hang out with all you guys and the listeners and then people like Tim out there in the community creating great content. It's just going to be, you know, it's just a good feeling. I don't know how to describe it, Tim. I think you kind of mentioned that multiple times during your ACO recap here. There's a feeling of warmth, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, very much with this game, because I've played a whole bunch of other stuff and there's just not another community out there, at least that I've experienced. And maybe there is, but in my experience, it hasn't ever been more of a just hanging out and playing games with friends and learning, you know what I mean? Better than MCP.
No, I certainly don't think there is. I have yet to find it. I've played many systems and I've been in many communities, and there's been some really, really wonderful communities I've been part of, especially like I mentioned earlier, those FFG Star Wars communities, because they were for a time more niche and then they got bigger. They were very positive and continue to be so, but there's something unique about MCP where it's like, we all love this game. And we all love characters in this game so much that, it's hard to quantify, you know, it's a very unique thing. If you're an X-Men person, like we mentioned earlier, and your team is all X, I mean, you're just kind of on cloud nine, right? When you play this game and, I don't know, I don't want to take that away from anyone. I want everyone to just love what they love. And something we always talk about on this show is that I'm really passionate about is every model in this game is somebody's favorite character, right? And
yes,
that, to me, adds another layer of the player contract and our responsibility as content creators to be, you know, welcoming and positive of all the characters. It's like, yeah, Cyclops might not be better than Black Panther in most situations, but it's like, at the same time, Cyclops is somebody's favorite character, Black Panther's someone's favorite character, you know what I mean? And I always keep those things in my mind when I try to talk about this, because Marvel, man, it means a lot to a lot of people for good reason.
Well, and I think too, like, kind of to piggyback off of that, like, and maybe this is exclusive to this game. It's probably not, but to me, it feels like it is. Mm. You have a character that may be underwhelming mechanically or in the competitive spectrum of things, but it's, you're right, it's still someone's favorite. And guess what? There's not really a whole ton of characters we don't see on the table, you know?
And you could still win the game with them. Yeah.
Correct. I mean,
absolutely. There's really hardly any, you know, and the ones that are, I feel like are models that, when their teams get an injection of new content soon, we will be seeing more of those models in particular and things like that. So no one's ever down and out. And, you know, and also let's keep in mind too, people put a lot of hobbying time and effort into this game, and they're really passionate about their pieces, as they should be, you know? And it's like, if you did a really awesome job on your cable, I mean, play that cable every game, you know, if you want to.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to see it on the table, and I know you're really proud of that. And it's just a wonderful community, and I'm literally looking for the future, and I'm really happy to be on this ride with everyone. And I think we just appreciate you guys listening and keeping up with us, and hopefully we can all just keep going on this journey together of loving this game, you know? And as Tim and I talked about at the top of the show, it's only getting bigger by the day, so I'm looking forward to the future.
Absolutely.
Well, Tim, thank you again for being on our show. It was about time we made this happen. I really loved my interactions, though few, I had with Danny on the Illuminati episode. If anyone hasn't checked that out, definitely check out Xavier Protocols, where Jacob posted that at the video, or on our podcast feed where we posted the Illuminati audio format of that. A lot of great content creators from different parts of the world, and Danny was there representing Professional Casual Network quite well. And yeah, we'll have to do this again sometimes, Tim.
Absolutely, dude.
Well, I look forward to when that is, but until next time, thanks for listening, true believers. Excelsior.
Has gotten even stranger than you already know.
At this point, I doubt anything would surprise me.
$10 says you're wrong.